Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Well, this is the Bald and the Beautiful, and we finally have somebody qualified on both accounts.
Yep, a double threat.
She's an internationally known housewife. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's a champion of mental health, comedy, and sobriety.
She's also an incredible reader of literature to the children.
She has one of the most beautiful natural eye colors I've ever seen.
And an incredibly stunning disposition that lays waste to men near and far.
And she once told me my feet smelled. And I'll never forget it. We were backstage at the season 7 premiere and you were doing some kind of yoga. You know that thing where you do the handstand, the arm stand and then your leg scissor? And then they rotate? I tried it and I had my shoes off and I said, I think my feet kind of smell. And Kasha was sitting across the room and she went, they do. they do. And
truth teller.
It was at that moment I knew Kasha would never lie to me or let me down.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Kasha Davis.
Kasha Davis.
Oh my God. I know you boys. I feel like I was like with the two little nephews or something.
Nieces.
I love that you can, this storyline with, I'm like literally 3 years younger than you, Kasha.
I know, but let's face the facts. You might be 3 years younger, but you have a little bit more of a younger aesthetic and a following.
She's dressing outside her age bracket, absolutely.
Yes, I do.
Those filters you're doing with the old age, that now we look alike.
Well, I have to tell you, I love that because you know what happens? My skin is in
it horrible.
You know what? I don't think your skin is that bad.
No, it's all relative.
It's all relative.
The problem is, Kasha, I know you're a beauty potion skincare girl, right? You take care of your face.
Look at that material. Of course she does.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. I'm bleached out with lights. I use witch hazel.
But didn't we talk about once that you had acne? You were a very oil-prone acne young person, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had all... But my parents taught me to just pop those zits. Okay. I mean, it was...
pop those zits
and feed the children. Yeah.
Put alcohol on it, and I...
Oh, my God.
I mean to say that your skin... I mean, you have the skin of a very young person, I think.
Yeah, at least from this screen, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, from this iPad, poorly lit, thousands of miles away on my Wi-Fi, stunning.
It's even and smooth, and I don't see a blemish, a wrinkle, or a pore.
Well, this is Botox just recently.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right.
How do you feel about it?
I love Botox for the forehead.
Yeah.
I did it once for the lip to try to get that little thing going
did
on
it
there.
Work?
It did nothing.
Okay. All right, because I'd be curious.
And Darian gets her lips like, she's like plumped up lips. And I just think I would look, you know, I'm already not the most feminine fella.
Well, Darian's allergic to nuts, but she loves that pecan pie and she just won't stop. So that mouth just swells up every time.
Yeah, I mean, she is into it. Yeah.
I love Botox too. I got the full, and I always tell them, I'm like, listen, I have a metabolism of a velociraptor. You need to, whatever you think is the limit, double it.
And well, I don't know. Go ahead.
They all, and always there's one teeny little area, usually above one eye, that they miss or that doesn't take or whatever, chews it up. And I have, you can see here.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to raise my eyebrows.
Kasia, if you could see it, she looks suspicious.
Yeah.
See, it's horrible.
Which yeah. I can't do that. I can't like isolate those eyebrows normally. So I guess that's a fun thing. But yeah, so that's the, always with the Botox, I have to go for a touch up.
I always go for a touch up. And then if you, I don't know if you could see, but there's like a line here. I get the droop, they call it.
The droop.
So this, is that, this part of my forehead, it goes.
Really?
And so I have to be careful not to get too much because then all of a sudden these lids will get heavier.
Oh, really? So now, would you be, my studio mate is obsessed with plastic surgery. So I'm kind of like, I'm learning all these new techniques and stuff. And I've learned about this thread. So it's barbed thread that they take a cannula. Is that what it's called? A hollow needle?
Kenya Michaels.
Kenya Michaels. No. A tiny little dancing needle.
A Kenya Michaels.
And it goes in and the barbs kind of catch on the muscle, right?
And they pull it. Yes.
And it stays in there. And so it dissolves eventually, I think.
Like implanted face tapes, basically?
Yeah.
But I just feel like it's like those, like, you know, bungee wrap, or what are those things called? Those plastic things that,
Zip ties.
Like a zip tie with like razors or something.
It's the barbs on it that kind of,
So wait a minute. Is this ignorant? Can bald people get facelifts? Because where do you hide the seam? If you don't have hair.
Under your lace front wig.
Yeah, there you go.
But is it behind the ear? If you get like a male bottom yank, can you hide it behind the ear?
Well, let's ask RuPaul.
I was just going to say, Ru's
got
to know.
I think she got a full yank.
Yeah, and she really lucks out because the deeper skin you have, the more chance you have to have some kind of unwanted scarring. Because skin with melanated skin can like scar more unappealingly differently versus really fair people. It's just going to be a scar.
I think that it's here. And then it's like back behind
I think it's
your
behind
ear.
The ears too. Yeah. Because I remember, not to gossip, but I mean, I remember when she was doing all those like scarves and stuff on late night, I was like, oh, she got a yank.
She got a full yank.
There's like, that's it. That's that has to be. That's just a gossip point of view. I don't know her.
I'm ready for the full bottom yank.
The bottom yank?
The bottom half of the face yank. I think about it all the time.
I do this. I've done this since my 20s. I'm always
Tell us about it. No.
I always push my face up. Like I'm obsessed with that whole thing.
Well, that's.
I don't think.
Those are the threads.
I know, but I think that you can tape and I think that you could just highlight and it's fine.
You can also just practice acceptance.
Hashtag grateful.
On this podcast.
Have you done the tapes, Kasia?
No. I mean, no, because I sweat too much.
Thank you.
I just stand.
Not a chance.
I sweat.
Not a chance.
And it's going to
be stroking
off.
Out four verses into the song.
You'd have to do so much and you have to go around, like you'd have to do the whole wrap the head and then a wig cap and then the, do you know what I mean? It's so much going on there.
Well,
I use this shit, this like medical, like adhesive, like wrap.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You know,
I got it. You kind of take
and I wrap
all this.
And wrap and wrap. And then I get that Jasmine Masters brain looking thing on the
brain.
Yeah.
Oh, the little brain.
The brain.
The brain wrinkle. And sort of the forceful wrapping just snatches it up.
Ladies, do you like good juicy brain?
Yeah. Get yourself a head wrap.
I wear so much makeup they don't really see it, but out of drag, honestly, if we're gonna be honest, I know most drag queens are like, well, I have to get the work done because I'm a drag queen. Mm-hmm. I don't care about how it affects my drag.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think it's because the drag is just slapping. You can hide anything.
And we all have, I mean, even you, Kasia has a, you wear a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I do a lot of like foundation and like the contour and all that kind of stuff.
And your eyes are huge.
You have huge eyes, huge, giant lashes, big, you know, you do the whole thing. Yeah.
Right. You know, she's a lady still, but.
So there's a lot of forgiveness, I feel like, if we're talking about wrinkles, blemishes, or aged defining marks.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but I agree with you. During the day, it's all about, I'd be like, oh God, that's when I would start to feel like.
Oh. And it's smart, Kasia. Like, I guess you picked a character that can age pretty gracefully because she's meant to be like married and settled and she's not the internationally known fiance.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'll tell you this. Mr. Davis always says, he's like, oh my gosh, I like it when you try to be sexy. Or like, because I have, you know.
Tell us about it.
Grandma wigs and stuff all the time. And that's what I love. Or the glasses. And because, you know, Kosh is eternally 50. And then like, I'll get out of drag and people are like, oh, you look really good. I'm like, remember, because I, you know, Kosh is older.
Right.
But so Steven or like Darren, they'll be like, oh, I like it when you do this soft. Like I'll get over too many compliments when I try to look younger.
Yeah.
Your husband's I'm not like,
real yeah, it's like okay.
It. Does the husband, does Mr. Davis like you in drag?
No.
Not sexually?
No. I mean, we've never even kissed. Like, we'll, like, we do our little life with the Davises thing and we'll do like a little peck and I'm like, oh my God, he kissed. He's just, he's just like, meh. You know, it's not his thing. He's That's always been very too, right? accepting yeah. of it. He's never been like uninterested in like, you know, dating someone who is in drag or whatever, but he's just not going to like, you know, yeah. put on your panties, Mrs. Davis. Let's yeah, get busy. Yeah.
I can't get hard unless the wig is on.
Put on your 50-year-old panties. Yeah. Have you ever thought about having sex in drag?
I don't know why that's funny. It's just the way that you asked the question.
Have you ever thought about it?
No. Because
I never thought about it in my 20s. And only in maybe the last 2 years have I been like, I don't know if I want to do it. Have you ever thought about doing it?
Absolutely not. Not for me. It's and I have no problem with, you know, that do you. But it's just not, there's too much stuff in the way.
That, yeah, I was just going to say, that's usually, it's a lot of like, you think about sex, you think about being naked. Yeah. Usually. So, I mean, sometimes. Yeah. Traditionally, yeah. let's say. Yeah.
Well, but let's be honest. I don't know about you fellas, but for me, I mean, I don't get a lot of like, you know, nudie pictures over my socials. And after being on Drag Race,
By the way, that's sometimes, her modestly asking the world, send Mrs. Kosha Davis a little bit. She's consenting to the nudes, folks.
Yeah. No, but like nobody was ever, my point is nobody was ever interested in Mrs. Kosha Davis that way. And now, like since Drag Race, people will send stuff and I'm like, Mr. Davis, look what we got for tonight. You know?
Yeah. And it's always like an 18-year-old from Argentina.
Oh, God.
It's never like a fit man your age in the area.
Right. No, yeah, never.
Yeah.
Always some guy in Germany.
Have you ever been sent marriage forms?
What do you mean marriage forms?
I got
notary. I'm a notary.
I got like, I'm looking to come to the country and I could be an amazing husband for you. And like, it was like the first documents to like a marriage certificate to start filling out.
Let's start the paperwork.
And they sent dick pictures.
That's kind of incredible. That is somebody who's going to close the deal.
Yeah, nothing sexier than marriage fraud.
I was about 23 at the time, so I don't think that's on the horizon for me anymore.
How long have you been married, Mrs. Davis?
Well, we're 18 years, we say.
Holy.
Because, you know, so much of it wasn't legal.
We say 18 years, but it's only been 4 months.
Oh, right. That's right. I always forget. Gay people.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like since we got together, we were, you know, we were in it to win it.
Right.
We say 18 married, you know, 10 legal, 8 happy.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. Because it gets tougher when you get older, you know, and when you have a more tenured relationship. You got to spice shit up.
Yeah. Maybe throw the wig on. I don't know.
Well,
right? I mean, the relationship changes, I'm assuming.
Oh, here we go. Yes, the wig. Thank God.
Oh, work.
Oh, my God. So we had a wig like that back in the wig shop. That was called Opus.
Opus Winfrey.
Opus in that color number 2.
A 2B.
Yeah.
You got an Opus and 2B. Yeah.
That's my my good old Judy Garland wig that I've had forever.
So, speaking of like, this is called The Bald and Beautiful. We often talk about beauty influences and style and stuff like that. We try to. So Judy Garland, who would you say your like top 3 beauty icons are?
Oh, well, Joan Collins, you know, the 1980s dynasty kind of thing.
Okay.
Oh, I can't believe that is so you. Yeah. Now that you mention it.
Yeah. You know, then definitely like Joanne Worley, Lucille Ball.
I don't know who Joanne Worley
is. Who's Joanne Worley?
Yes, you do. So Nina West did Joanne Worley as a part of, she's a comedian and she was on Laughing. She goes, woo, and she swings the pearls around her neck. She is a kooky 1960s comedian.
Okay. I gotta look because
we're that, about to get dragged.
Yeah.
In the comments, you know what? I mean, the 18-year-olds who listen to us are gonna be like,
I don't fucking know it either. Yeah. If it's not Billie Eilish, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, they definitely don't know who that is.
Well, you know, when you're like a 21-year-old drag queen, you only know what you know. And then I think the longer you do drag, you go back deeper. You learn about the Joanne Worley's later.
Yeah. Well, and it's like the dress you just wore with the, you know. For your new single, Trixie, with the...
Oh, the crossword?
The crossword, yeah. So she had that, like the mod kind of stuff.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to look this whore up.
Yeah, you better look her up. Laugh in. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Laugh. You'll totally hate her. But, I mean, you'll probably gravitate more to the Goldie Hawn of that time. She was, you know...
Oh, my God. I have an entire folder on my phone saved of Goldie Hawn from Hullabaloo. Just so fucking hot, dude.
So great.
So beautiful. And the outfits and the hair. I mean, she makes me want to wear that short vanity wig, that new one, that like the 60s little posh.
The touch and go bus driver.
Little, it's like a Twiggy wig.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of like, you know, Botox and plastic surgery, Pandora Box is working to get to look like Goldie Hawn's face these days. Really.
Yeah, Pandora's, but she's goal, like in her 60s now, right?
She's
actually isn't Pandora like she's in her 50s, right?
She's younger. She's deceptively.
No. Is that horrible?
No, yes, it is.
I think she is in her 50s.
Wait, it's probably on Wikipedia, but I will say
Kasha's just letting us hypothesize. She probably knows.
The one thing I will say about Pandora is that for a white person, you know that like older white folks often look like whodunit, but she. In and out of drag, I was like, when I found out how old she was, I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Pam from True Blood.
She looks great. Like,
she's 49.
Holy shit.
See, I wasn't that wild.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Yeah.
She looks incredible.
She and Darian are 49, and then I turned 50 in March.
Wow.
I'm the first one to be
50.
Oh, my
God. Wow. So you guys are all, that's so cute, the three little trio.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys, I mean, wow. Same age, same town.
That's really special.
Same mental town. Problems.
When I came to Rochester in 99, they were up on stage and I was just pissing my pants drunk in the audience. Having a good time enjoying the show. But no desire to do drag when I first saw them. I just liked the show. It was great. You know, Darian was up there in her little Wonder Woman costume dancing her butt off. Mm-hmm. And Pandora was doing, you know, crazy mixes, and it was so much fun. But, so then eventually then I got to join that group, which was incredible.
And how old you, so a late start, how old were you when you started doing drag?
2004, so what's the math? I don't know, 30-something.
Wow, that's a really late start. I mean, I say I have a late start, and I think I started at least 25 or something. Kids are doing it at 14, 12, whatever.
Oh, people are like, I'm skipping college to be a drag queen because it's a get rich quick scheme. Yeah. Goodbye.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, seriously.
For some, it's a great, you know.
Isn't that wild? Don't you think? I mean, because you know as well as we do, is like, I mean, I never expected to get rich in drag or ever expected to be cool.
I thought I was rich in drag when I would be able to go home with like $100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Girl. Do you remember, Trixie, I don't know if you remember, but I thought it was the most adorable thing.
Kasha Davis.
Well, we were in San Francisco, and your suitcase was full of cash, and you're like, oh, yeah, I just check it like that. And then you had a trash bag with merch that was ripped, and some of your cash was falling out of that. And then you had a fanny pack that had a hole in it, and I was like,
oh, the fanny pack with a hole in it. This wasn't even that long ago. This is after I'd done television. A trash bag full of merchandise with a fanny pack with a hole in it with money falling out. Yeah.
And I was like, Trixie, come on. And I was like, you have to at least iron, like, you know, fold those dollars out. You're like, no, it's fine.
You guys, I just was so trash through college and everything. Like, I remember coming home when I was touring the first, you know, during season 7 touring, I would come home with a paper bag, like a grocery bag rolled up. And it was like my bank. That was full of money. And if we're going out, God. I would have a paper sandwich bag full of just cash, and I just pull it out at the bar. And like, and people were like, you need to stop that. You know who stopped it? Coco Peru. She watched me open a suitcase one day and money came out crumpled. And she goes, are you freaking kidding me? And she like shamed me out of it.
That's incredible.
Good.
But You're booked through Thursday through Sunday lip syncing and you're drinking. You're not going to stay up at 2 a.m. One, two.
Like, I did.
You did? Because you had to dry out the costumes.
Because they all had to. I had to dry out the money. And like I had to lay everything out. The bills would be soaked, you know, with sweat. So like I had to put out my panties and my undergarments and my tights, and then the cash had to dry and then it would become crispy.
Well, I didn't have to stay up that late because I only had to count like $10 or $20. So it's like, what? She's all done. No, but I was like, it was the most adorable thing. And I was so, I have to tell you, Trixie, I get to do, you know, interviews as we all do. And I always say right from the get-go, when we would have our little conference calls or stuff like that, you were always like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. This business plan, this is my merch. And I was just always so impressed with that.
Thank you.
And she did it.
I am.
And you are still doing it.
I am the capitalist.
Even though sometimes I want to kick you right in the crotch, I'm like, good for you.
Yes.
I just always feel like if you build it, they will come. I wish everybody should believe in themselves. Every idea is a good idea. That's not true.
That is absolutely
that
not
is
true.
That is not true.
I think what people
should believe in themselves.
I think that what is inspiring about her is that she says she has a plan and then she does it.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if it works or not. It usually works, but you do
we
it.
We would be texting and you'd say to me like, so what's your plan for merch? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm having a Chardonnay. Like I was just couldn't believe it, you know? And I would get off the phone and I'd be like, Steve, she's planning merch. And he's like, well, let's see what happens. Now he knew damn well I didn't go far. So he was like, we don't need to worry about merch. But,
I went home before
it was
very
you did. Inspiring. I know.
I just always think like with, I don't know, merchandise. I mean, I used to print and ship my own merchandise.
I can't, which
was crazy. Through season 7.
I can't even imagine.
I would come home, you know, we tour bars on the weekends. I'd be at home on a Monday, listening to podcasts, stuffing people's shirts and bags.
Oh my God.
For a year and a half, probably. God,
I can't imagine.
It was crazy.
But you did tell me on the set, like, if I'm still doing drag at your age, kill me.
Oh yeah. When do I get the gun? I'm ticking off the days until I can.
Well, I will say, you know, admit you guys didn't do drag as young as me, but I remember being 21 doing drag and going like 30 or a drag queen.
Yeah,
what is that?
I thought 30 was like depressing, and now I'm 38. So
you keep thinking when you're young, you think like I'm not gonna do this forever, and then I've been doing it 13 years, and now I'm like, well, I know drag queens who are 60.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a great job, so.
Yeah. The only thing I think is depressing about an aging, quote-unquote, drag queen is if it's not fun. Like, that's the only thing that's depressing. Like, a drag queen who doesn't want to do drag doing drag at 60 is, it's like a David Lynch movie. You know, it's bizarre.
Yeah. It also depends on your aesthetic. Like, I mean, Kasha, I think you're smart to pick something you could age with and into. Because wasn't Kasha older than you when you started?
Did what?
Kasha's older than you.
Like the character.
You're just becoming her age.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She was always 50, so I'm just catching up.
Yeah, yeah. So
50
years old. So she's like, you're set in terms of age because you'll never really meet her.
Yeah. And like, you know, you chose a character that's like an aged grizzled hooker.
Well, I think the only thing I chose a character that's not consistently sexy because that's important though because like, now I'm doing it digitally, but I like to explore being ugly because then it just refreshes people. You know, like you're like, oh.
Yeah, you can't give them hot all the time.
You can't give them hot all the time?
Yeah.
No. But though that face app you mentioned earlier, Kasha, it is for me personally, I love it so much. And then I'll take the old picture and then I'll put it back in the program, make it older and then so on and so forth.
And then the baby.
And then you're throwing a baby. And then, but then when you do a regular picture, you're like, oh,
I'm gorgeous.
Right.
I look great. Yeah.
But really comes back down to what you said. You're having fun.
Oh,
you know?
Have
fun. And you're trying different things. And each of you have done that. And I think that, you know, I work to try to do those types of things to keep myself interested. And that's what people like, you know who Aggie Dune is. I think at least Trixie does. She's
70 years old.
She's 70 or 80. She... No, but you know what I mean? She's always like, you know, you've got to get on the microphone. You've got to do other things besides, you know, only lip sync because you want to keep yourself interested so that the world sees you're having fun.
Yeah.
Challenged.
I like her. I feel like I like her a lot, Aggie.
Yeah, she gave me, you know what? She gave me a teasing brush that I still have and still use.
That's really sweet.
I wonder if she knows that. She was like, kind of like that. Yeah, she's like, we have them at the salon. Keep mine. And I was like, thank you.
It was probably turquoise.
Turquoise.
She loves all her turquoise.
She does hair. And Darian does hair too, right? They both do hair.
Yeah, she owns the salon where Darian works.
Oh, cool.
Bunch of fags clipping hairs.
Just drag fags. We're going to take a break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
And we're back with Kasha Davis. Kasha, can I ask, what kind of outfit and drag, what do you feel the most sexy in?
Oh, a housewife dress.
Say it slow
dress.
So I can touch myself.
A housewife dress, really? What is a housewife dress?
I think
you look hot in those little Tina Turner dresses with the sequins.
Oh, yeah, the shimmy
all
dress.
All leg.
A leg. And fucking leg, jacked arms, you fucking bull dagger.
Oh my God.
I'm back to working out. I started back with a trainer because I'm like, you know what? Why the hell not?
Absolutely.
You know, I want to turn 50 and be like, these arms are great. The gut will always be what it is. you know, at this point, I'm like, I have been trying sit-ups for years. And I can't even get one ab going. So I'm like, it's just going to be what it is. You got corsets for that.
That's the hard, I think that's the hardest thing. Like,
what, abs?
Like, yeah, in drag, when you're a man, when you're male, born male, you gain weight in the middle, only.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, it's tough in the face.
Yeah. But I also think, like, when I first started drag, it was all about, like, hide your arms. I used to have to wear, like, that shrugs and, like, don't let anybody see. But I'm so excited how more and more now people are, like, you know, hairy drag, arms out, whatever. And it's like it's just whatever you want to do to express yourself. I just love that. So, you know, she's building her arms back up.
Great. Yeah. I like it when I love how it can be very polarizing, certain aspects of like the gender play and how heated and impassioned people get about it. Like, it's like anger. I love that. The people like, you know, I don't know, anything from like, beards or whatever. Like, people get really up in arms about it. I think that's fun.
I think showing arms is, whenever there's correct proportions, you can show anything.
Yeah.
And I never care when I see other drag queens' arms, but I don't feel comfortable showing my own very much. Unless they're slathered in makeup and I have a huge wig on.
Well,
seriously, like, when I see, like, Kasha showing arms, it doesn't bother, I don't think twice about it. But when I'm in drag and look in the mirror and see arms, I'm like, oh, I don't know, I need to cover, you know.
Well, yeah, because that doesn't go with your, like, extra small petite French vanilla fantasy.
And if I do show arms, full coverage foundation to the armpit.
And contoured
arms.
Why? The skin or?
I just want it all to match.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
To me, makeup, if it shows, it goes with makeup. Like, I paint the hands, the
shows,
ears.
It goes.
The back of the neck.
Wow. I wish I had taken her advice like from the jump, because I recently saw a clip of me and I was featuring at least four very distinct shades of skin, like that went ranging from yellow ochre
cherry tomato
to cherry tomato to like raw sienna and then a corpse gray.
Which interview was it?
It was a
was it the Exposed on the couch interview?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. And I had no assistant that day. And I was like running late. And I'm like, oh, I really did wear those fishnets. I wore those tights with no fishnets and had, the, and my hands look like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
The Crypt Keeper.
And the foundation, I think it also has to do with the color balancing. The foundation really picked up the yellow.
Yellow.
So her face is yellow. Her neck is red.
Red.
Her hand is gray. And her legs are like a black tight.
No, brown. They were like, it was pantyhose, you know, but with no fishnets.
I mean, listen, you just taught me something, but most of my filming is done on my iPhone in the basement, so I don't have to worry, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, we're just doing this.
That's smart.
But yeah. I think that is, I have noticed in photos, I'm like, wow, those legs, my, you know, my leg color might not match. So I see what you mean.
It's hard. It's hard to do. That's why a solid, opaque, color tight is a really, like a good choice,
especially drag queens. Like we're wearing multiple layers of light suntan. Yeah. There's no way your face is going to match that because you're not Bart Simpson or something.
That's why a black fishnet is like kind of like you have to do it always if you're gonna. I feel like
Did you ever get those shimmer tights to go underneath and try that?
The like, Lady Bunny tights.
Yeah.
Do you like? Well, do you guys like them?
Personally, I have never been able to make them work.
I can't make them work. So. They seem to take away the definition on the muscles in your legs. I don't know what happens.
Yeah.
Where like a regular tight will still show your leg, but then when I put those on, I'm like, what the heck? There's no definition. Like something changes.
It's bizarre for me that my I feel like I agree. Like for somehow it appears that the muscle definition is gone, and also they look at the same time fat and too skinny. It's so bizarre. It's really weird.
The shimmery ones also don't stretch as much. So like an extra large in this shimmery, you need a 2X.
Yeah, they always end up looking a little gray on me. So it's like they have little like wet gray chicken legs.
I don't know if people know what we're talking about. Think of like Lady Bunny's legs. Shimmery brown.
Yeah, it's a shimmer. I don't know. It looks
Lady Bunny's legs are the color of Peppermint's boobs.
Yes. Yes.
Just gold, bronze, shiny.
Yeah, yeah.
Peppermint calls them her Golden Globes. It was her birthday yesterday. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy
Peppermint.
Birthday, Pep. Happy
birthday. She's also 50.
Yeah.
So, what have you been up to, gal?
What have I been up to? Well, you know, you said it earlier on. I love my story time, and I'm working on, we got some sizzle reels and some pitches out to, you know, streaming platforms to try to get that kids show going is the dream of mine.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, you know, imagine Pee-wee's Playhouse slash, you know, the campiness of Pee-wee and the honesty of Mr. Rogers.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, that is something that, fingers crossed. But then Workhorse Queen is a documentary that was done over the past couple years by Angela Washko, and that is premiering at Slam Dance Film Festival February 12th through 25th.
Oh shit, that's fantastic.
In LA, yeah.
Wow. Have you been to a film festival?
I've been to a film festival.
Yeah, I've never really been to one until semi-recently, and they don't sound exciting, but they are. When you get there, it's really cool.
Well, I mean, this is obviously because of COVID. It's streaming online. But I think they're fantastic. And, you know, people are just, you know, it's new artists a lot of times, which I think is really cool to be able to see the opportunities that they're, you know, putting out there. And I mean, I'm so humbled and flattered that she decided to tell the story. And there's some shit in that documentary that, you know, like even my husband says that floored me. Wow. So I, you know, watching it, I know it's me, but I was laughing and crying and. I'm really excited that it's out because I remember when I first started, I was doing my show, There's Always Time for a Cocktail, which tells my story. I was so anxious to tell my story. And Mimi I'm First was like, girl, nobody knows you. They don't want to know your life story. Why don't you just lip sync a song first?
Mimi I'm First, keeping it real. Mimi I'm First, keeping it so real.
But she was right, you know? She's like, nobody knows who the hell you are. So she was right. And so now time has gone on and I'm excited about it. You know, it obviously talks about sobriety.
Right.
And
do you feel weird? Do you feel weird watching people do you think it's going to be weird having people watch you talk about that?
Well, the whole thing is weird. I feel like Number one, I'm turning 50. Number two, here's the story of my life and all the people that have died. Oh, I feel like it's the movie that's playing like as we're all sitting around at my funeral.
Oh,
I'm
my like, God.
I love it already.
Yeah.
Did they have cameras following you around? Like, what was the process like?
For a couple of years. So at the time, I was going to Australia. I was drag cons. Wow. So she had followed me everywhere.
That's a lot. That's a commitment and a labor of love. That's like, did you ever feel like, do you ever have any moments where like, get that fucking camera away from me, or you felt too exposed or raw or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely like, there were a couple times at drag con where, and she shows it. Like, I tried to do a story time at drag con, and I think five people came to the, you know, the seminar or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know, and I'm like, why
maybe
are you
shouldn't
filming
have called
this?
The kids show a seminar.
what is it
maybe
called?
They thought you were
called?
Trying to hustle timeshares.
I know, right? What is it called?
There's a children's called? Seminar. Yeah. Come, children, to the seminar. There's a PowerPoint.
We've got great property in Boca.
I can't think of what they're called.
Panel.
The panel. Yeah. Thanks. So yeah, like nobody was at it, and I was like, "Wow, this is great." But that's the good part about the story, is it shows no matter what age you are, you know, you can have dreams and you can keep following them, and that makes me happy that message is out there.
Tempest Azur taught us that, and I always think of her since she passed.
Girl, everything in her house passes.
I'm just kidding. Tempest Azur is alive. If everyone's listening, it's just a joke. It's just a joke.
But you cracked me up that day when you said something. Does anything in your house, any animal in your house live?
People were so mad. People were like, it's a sensitive time. How dare you? I'm like, girl, because I know her like that.
Yeah.
You know, Tempest Azur was standing over the dead animal's body trying to find something to laugh about. I mean, that's her vibe.
Yeah.
But she has all these rescues.
Yeah.
And she's like, woke up today, the penguin killed the tarantulas. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So funny.
She's got a pretty dirty sense of humor and a funny sense of humor, too.
Oh, she's rotten.
Rotten. And you want to talk somebody who doesn't age? Yeah. Tempest Azur is running the streets of West Hollywood in drag with like six porn actors, blackout drunk. And she's like, girl, come, why aren't
an
you out? I'm like,
flamingo.
It's Monday. It's 1 p.m.
When we did our season 7 tour, we were in Vegas. And I think at that point we had lost Candy in New Orleans. We got to Vegas. She never made it. We got to Vegas.
Congenital heart failure.
I went to like the nickel slots all night, and Trixie was, or what's her name? Tempest was like, I'm going to bed, and I'm at the nickel slots. I'm like, I'm having a good time.
Not the nickel slots.
Yeah. So she comes in the morning to get me, and she's like, we're not going to be Candy. We're not going to miss this. I am passed out drunk in drag on the bed. She's like, get dressed. I was like, she came in like Mama Bear.
Wow.
And it was get on that plane. And then we got on the plane.
Wait. You were passed out in drag in the morning?
Yes, because I went to play the nickel slots in drag. And
so you're in bed in drag sleeping, and Tempest Azur has to get you on the plane. Holy,
that's
shit.
I feel like that's a jackpot.
Yeah, right? I won. And then I got on the plane, and then guess who's playing footsie with me? Lady Bunny.
Who's playing footsie with you?
She's playing footsie with me, and she's like, hey, gotcha. And I'm like,
no.
I know. I was like,
Jeff Daniels, no.
Oh my God.
And then you're hungover, and that made you wretch there on the plane.
That, I need to see that in the documentary.
Kasha, I got to tell you, I'm sure you don't miss the hangovers.
Oh God. I think I spent like 10 years hungover. Ugh. I mean, yeah.
When I was doing clubs, like, you know, when you first do Drag Race, we were all doing the nightclubs. And when you're doing nightclubs Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, every morning you're hungover and you're like, what am I doing?
How do you do that?
Because every night is
sick
pride.
When you're hungover? Do you feel like physically sick?
How would you describe a hangover, Kasha?
I mean, for me, it was definitely like headache. I was never one who like retched or puked all the time. I would just be like dehydrated.
And
essentially.
Is it that like hair of the dog thing that you kind of get over it by drinking more? So like,
they say that.
It's not true.
I've never found that to be true.
Okay.
No, you're basically just getting drunk again.
Okay.
Yeah, hair of the dog. And the dog is Jim Beam.
Yeah.
You're just getting drunk again.
To me, a hangover is like, it's worst. It's the worst right when you wake up. And it just feels like your body's got cement bricks on it in bed. And you're like, oh. And then you're so dehydrated that like your eyes hurt to open.
Oh, God.
And it hurts to hear noise and see light. It's just everything.
Wow. Sign me up. That sounds like so bad.
You were working on trying to get sober the next morning. I was like, well, give me an hour with, you know, breakfast, and then I'll have another shot of something on the sly. Wow.
I know. Your book, there's always time for a cocktail until there isn't.
Yeah. Right?
Until that clock runs out. My God.
It's also the anti-aging miracle is just don't drink.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it is.
Drink water. Lots of water.
Well, it's amazing how many performers in general, not just drag queens, but performers in general who are sober. It's a tough lifestyle.
I feel like, because I feel like in a lot of sectors of this entertainment industry, you're either like an active fucking drunk or you've gotten sober.
Seriously, when you're a drag queen and you say you don't want to drink, people assume you're either in the program or nothing else.
That's it.
In order to sustain, a drag career 10 years and beyond, you have to change your relationship with alcohol because being 21 and drinking every night because you're at a bar, that's not sustainable.
No,
it's just not.
No. And you also think you're more fierce and funnier and you believe all of that. And then you look back and you're like, meh.
Yeah. What was it like? Not. I mean, because I'll never forget the first time I performed not drunk. In drag, and I had a different body. I felt like I was on a cruise ship or something. It was so bizarre to not be drunk in front of an audience doing my wiggle numbers that I was like, do you know what I mean? Because I felt so self-conscious, and it was like, oh God,
the song suddenly feels really long
and boring, and like, and you know, it's just the whole thing. Was that like, what was that like for you?
I mean, it was definitely a little uncomfortable, but if I think back, I had more experience with theater and dance. Okay. So I didn't go out on stage for the Nutcracker hammered. But it seems like in drag, that's okay, right? Yeah. But then what I loved was doing like hosting or stand up. And you know, when you can't remember the next word when you're drunk, you're just, there's a blank.
Yeah.
But when you get that blank, when you're sober, you're like, okay, it's a blank. So hang on, something's going to come. And then something funnier comes because, you know, you're clearer and you can just like work through those moments.
Yeah.
But when I was drunk, I'd be like, well, I'm just leaving the stage now because nothing else is coming, which was essentially all of my appearance on season 7 because it wasn't drunk, but it was Xanax. I had a little Xanax over in my station.
What? You are joking.
Yeah. So that's why, I mean, I hope someday to be cast on All Stars.
Give me a zanny bar.
I will be awake, everybody. You know, I was asleep.
Kasha, you would be a great All Stars competitor.
No fucking shit. Would you do that shit?
I totally would, yeah.
Oh, then get Bob.
Katya wants to do it again, too.
I would love to do it again. Well, I mean, yeah.
Alaska said she would do it again.
Yeah. Why the hell not?
Why not? And then once you take the pressure off, I mean, doing it the first time is stressful. Doing it the second time, Kasha, it's a whole nother ball game. It's like, who cares?
It's fun. It's like, fun. Yeah. It's like, I would just think of it as like a TV appearance. Oh, I get to do one again tomorrow. Great. If not,
you get to show a dress and you know all the drag queens, so it doesn't feel weird.
Yeah. That's, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to meet any more new queens.
No, I want them to die.
Well, remember when we'd be in that confessional or whatever? I'm like, I don't even know. They were like, what did you think of everybody you saw? I'm like, I don't know who they are. I'm
who?
Like,
13 other girls. Only, it's crazy.
Yeah. The only one I knew from before it was Miss Fame. And I was like, you know.
We're going to take a break and then we're going to talk about your big bald head. And we're back. Kasha, I have to ask, when did you start shaving your head? I've only ever known you with a shaved head.
Oh my gosh. I think it was after my mom died. I think the stress of that was just like the hair went boom.
Really?
It just like so much of it fell out.
You're kidding.
And I had the whole Mr. Burns thing going on, you know? Okay. So I have it on the sides and back. And I was trying to grow like these 5 or 6 hairs and our daughters were like, what are you doing? Like,
meaning I first called you again to bully you further. Yeah, yeah. She said, girl, shave your head, you fucking pig.
No, our daughters, well, see, the youngest is 26. The other one, oldest, is 28. They were always the worst critics. They would come, we bring them to the shows, and they would be like, Ed, some of your jokes afterwards, all you hear is cricket, cricket.
I was like, oh my God.
That's incredible, Kasia. If you want to know how your show is, get the people close to you who do not think you're famous to come to your show.
Absolutely.
And it gets very clear.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was great. I mean, they were like, and this is early, like, you know, they're like, who's Judy Garland? Could you do some? They're like, what about like Katy Perry? Can you do some of this stuff? And so I would try to do the songs they'd want. And then I'd be like, this just doesn't seem right. Like, you know, I'm out there like grandma doing Katy Perry. But, they would challenge me to update myself sometimes. And I loved that. But they were the ones. They were like, it's time to shave your head.
All my favorite drag queens are people who can keep an eye on their original influences and keep an eye on what's out there now.
Yeah.
I think a Chad Michaels is a good example of that where.
Yeah.
You know, she'll do a 50-year-old song and a song that came out this week.
Yeah, she's got one foot in the now, the other foot in the Cretaceous era or whatever. Yeah.
Or Dolly Levi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Dolly Levi.
The 11 dancing toes of Dolly Levi.
She's 112. And just,
she's 112.
Incredible.
Backstage with Dolly Levi, the stories, they just go on, and you're like, please just get me a piece of coke and a cake from Hamburger Mary's, and I can sit here and listen to you talk all day. I love that. And, you know, when I started in drag, there was no Drag Race. And so I wanted to be, Varla Jean Merman, Coco Peru, Miss Richfield is my original inspiration.
Oh, right.
You know, and so those were the stars to me. Yeah. And going to P-Town, that was like the goal, you know.
Yeah.
To go there and have a show. And because there was RuPaul, but that was like unattainable, unheard of. It was... Drag queens were cabaret performers.
Yeah. Right.
And so those are the people that I'm attracted to.
Yeah, Coco was my like a dream model.
Yeah.
Because she did monologues and she was like, I just love the way that she, you know, that was like, I want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's still weird to me that I even like know her now.
I know. And she's so wonderful.
She's amazing.
She's one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. She's really amazing. I mean, her shows are... It's like a flagrant display of talent. It's like the Ben and Jinx Christmas special. It's a slap in the face of talent. You're like, do we quit? Yeah. Let's quit.
So, and you've worked with her, I'm sure, as well. She has the full script.
Oh,
it's memorized to a T.
There's no improv.
She doesn't even change the commas or the periods at all.
Yeah. It's wild.
And like the paper's not even dirty. Like mine would have all like coffee stains on it and scribbles and self-doubt. Like that whole paragraph's got to go. No, she's like, this is it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
You should do a summer in P-Town. It was like the hardest thing I ever did. And it really is like baptism by fire.
Oh,
because some nights there's 16 people there, rich faggots who will only laugh if it's incredible.
Oh, well, I did two. I was there once with Pandora and Darian. I think
I remember that.
Yeah. And then I came back the following summer and just did my show at the Parliament House. And one of the best things that's ever happened to me was to be able to do that show. Because again, as you said, there was like 5-10 people. Milk was having a show at that time, and Tammy, and we were all like, Richfield sold out, Varla sold out, and we have, 5-10 people. But one of those people was Miss Richfield 1981, and she sat through my whole show in drag, and she was just sweet and kind and loved it. And I was like, she was like, you know, just keep working it. And I was like, that was a moment for me. It was like just a wonderful moment to be able to have her there and to watch that. Cause I adore what she does. So.
Yeah. And you know why? I mean, in Provincetown, which is Cape Cod, if nobody knows, the reason those performers have those, obviously they're incredible, but they've also been, Varla's been performing there for 20 years.
Yeah.
So she becomes these people's annual tradition.
Yeah.
And the shows are extremely high quality. But like, if you want to be stripped of your dignity and stripped of any pride or entitlement, go to Provincetown.
Yeah, because even a 20-year veteran with amazing talent, she's still on the fucking street barking like everybody else.
Dina Martinez out there handing out flyers.
Yeah, nobody's a star.
Yeah.
I mean, they are a star, but they're
my first summer there, 55 shows, I barked 54 of them a year after I did Drag Race. And I barked them all because, A, I only sold out 4 times the first summer. And B, I was like, I know that these older drag queens are going to hate me for being a TV drag queen and coming here and doing this. So I need them to see me barking every day so they're not like, fuck her.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But again, I love that. I love that work ethic. And I think that that means something because it is sort of, you know, it's their town. It's what they've built. And remember the night that I think we saw you, Marilyn May, a cabaret legend. Oh my God.
I went to that.
Look her. Yes. Look her up, Katya.
Her name is Marilyn May.
Okay. She used to do these old Lincoln Mercury commercials back in the 70s. And then she's like 90 something and she's still out there doing her cabaret show.
Yeah.
And who's in her audience? Bob Mackie.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Kasha Davis, I was there. She has kind of like Ethel Merman, like character voice singing. It was super good.
Yeah.
I have a couple more questions here. Kasha, take this any way you want. When did you know you were beautiful?
I never did know I was beautiful. I honestly look back at old photos from when I was a kid. I was like, wow, I look pretty good. Always had image issues with myself.
I've seen pictures that when you post the young pictures, I mean, they're basically accidental thirst traps. You're a very attractive young man.
Well, you're very kind. But it's like so funny because I look back at that and I used to be like, wow, I used to think I was so fat, or I used to think, you know, I grew up in a town where there was no such thing as being feminine or anything like that. So I was just a lot of self-loathing, to be honest.
Well, it's funny you say that, you know, the feminine stuff. I was talking to somebody the other day about how common it is for fans of Drag Race to misuse the term trade in terms and referring to like the male contestants out of drag. And I was like, the only real trade of any season was Mrs. Kasha Davis.
What's the real definition? Let the children know.
Well, really it's usually like a straight acting guy who would trade sex for favors. Or like an actual straight guy, you know, and I'm usually like...
Kasha did a lot of that on Drag Race.
Yeah.
Trading like, sexual favors.
But you could traditionally, you know, she could pass for a dude and then that's trade.
Yeah.
Sarge, me and Sarge.
Oh, Sarge. Do you remember? You know Sarge.
Of course.
Yeah.
Wintergreen, as the children know him now.
Oh, Wintergreen. That's
right. Wintergreen.
Yeah. I would suck this shit right out of his asshole.
You're such an icon. I just love you, Kasha.
Yeah, thank you, Kasha, so much.
I'm so happy we've kept in touch all through the years.
I'll tell you what. You know what? I know that I'm annoying, and I like to reach out and be like, I am. I am annoying. I know. I reach out to everybody, and I'm like, how are you? And I hope you're well. And I mean it. You know, like, I'm that Hallmark card
texter. You are not annoying. I love that you keep in touch with me. I get texted all the time, and I'm very grateful.
I know. Well, you're sweet. And I know, like, because I'll text Bianca and she's like, oh, bitch, leave me alone. But I know, you know, I care about people and I know how hard this business is. And I'm always very impressed, you know, with people who work hard and you're both, you know, just, I love it. You're following your dreams and you're going for it. And yes, you may have opportunities, but you just keep on working. And I love that.
Well, when the world opens back up and you do like a little LA tour, I hope I can see you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we're gonna go crash Bianca's place in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we all need to go off the walls.
Yeah.
Sit in her closet and get all the feathers that are not chicken feathers. Yeah.
All the turbans you can carry.
Kasha, where can everybody find you?
Oh my gosh, in the suburbs of Rochester, New York, in my basement. No, you know, on the www on Insta Snatch, Twitter, FacePlace, and TikTok. Which I don't understand. I don't understand why these kids are talking to a clock.
And TikTok. Are you on TikTok, Kasha? Are you doing TikTok?
I am. I finally have 30 some thousand followers and I'm still not a check mark, but I'm working on it.
Kasha's on TikTok. I got to check you out. I'm trying to get into it.
How do I get a check mark? I want to get a check mark.
Darian got one. I don't know who she paid.
I want my check. Well, maybe we can do a TikTok trend thing. I'm always fascinated by those and how to do the worst transitions possible.
Yes.
And so it's at Mrs. Kasha Davis on Twitter, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then on Instagram and so on and so forth.
Oh, here you are, Kasha. Ooh. Mrs. Kasha Davis.
Mrs. Kasha Davis.
There she is.
Oh, look, you're standing here with some oranges. Wait a minute. Oh, look, she's kicking shoes. Kasha Davis is kicking the shoes.
Oh, you better kick a fucking yes!
Work! Oh, this is great. Come on. You look amazing.
Yeah.
You know. Wow. Thanks.
Do you make any of your costumes?
Absolutely not. Everything.
Well, if you wanna...
I get them all from Davey. You've gotten some things from him. Thatchwork.
Dave. Oh, yes. He is amazing.
Yeah. I love his stuff. And so I get stuff there, and then I get Casa Glam wigs, and she's good to go. I was telling Katya I get my fingernails at Marshall's for $3.99.
Marshall's?
And she's ready.
Oh, yeah. The clearance section, honey. Check it out.
I get mine on Amazon.
Oh, well.
But I wear a short, square French tip. Yes. Don't be like me.
Yes,
I wear nails sometimes that are shorter than my real nail.
I was going to say, they're like so... Oh, there you go. Look. Yeah. Dress to impress.
$3.99. Yeah.
That's nice, though.
They're irregular because they're all thumbs.
Are they better than the... You know it's bad when you have to buy toenails so you can do your own thumbs.
I know.
That's when it's bad. All right. Bye, Kasha.
Oh, thank you, Kasha.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
America, we are endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.